The first reading for today is from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. Finally, brothers, goodbye. Aim for perfection, listen to my appeal, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints send their greetings. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. This is the word of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen. Saying goodbye has always been a problem for people. For children, it seems like it's just no big deal at all. When kids are playing together, one may simply say, "Bye, Jason, it's time for you to leave now." We can't do something like that as adults so much, can we? "Well, it's good to have you come. Bye." Folks are still sitting there on your couch finishing their snacks before dinner. "Time for you to go. Show you the door." Kids get away with that. Kids can do such things, but it's just not proper etiquette. Instead, we get this, "I'll be seeing you, and nice talking to you. Take care now, and okay, come again soon." And it takes 20 minutes to get out the door. Or it takes 30 minutes to get someone else out the door. And all the time you're thinking where else you need to be, or you're thinking what else you need to do, and it's just not getting done. There is an impressive goodbye in our text today. Impressive in that, as Paul says, "Finally, brothers, goodbye," and while his farewell here is short and sweet, he adds this command as he says that we should make it our aim for perfection. Listen to my appeal, be of one mind, live in peace. And he offers this wonderful promise with it. "And the God of love and peace will be with you." And then finally, the benediction or blessing, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." This is a nice goodbye. This is a clear blessing of a goodbye, the way a goodbye was intended to be. Kind of like the William Shakespeare famous line from, Romeo and Juliet, "Parting is such sweet sorrow." It's a cherished kind of goodbye that comes out, if you will. And while there's some sadness with Paul's words in the blessing he offers that make this farewell even more sweet and sorrowful as it comes to us, it's kind of a mixed goodbye. The goodbye, as we say it, is believed. There are two kind of main ideas of where the word goodbye comes from. One of the main thoughts that I would follow with is the idea of "God be with you," is where goodbye is truncated down to be that blessing, if you will, that sending that others would have. In other languages, goodbyes come across in words and meanings that are like that. In Hebrew, "Shalom Aleichem," peace be with you. Peace of God be with you. Shalom Aleichem. In English, of course, just the goodbye is one thing, but we've got other ways of saying goodbye that are less formal, that are probably intended to be less formal on purpose, because we're not saying it as if it's a final type farewell. This case, it was more like a final farewell. We're saying goodbye, if you will, in a sense, for the last time. And sometimes that does happen in our life, and it's a grieved point when that comes about. Paul was saying goodbye to the Corinthians, but leaving his word with them and reminding them of something that Catherine and I followed from a beginning in our marriage, wherever we lived. It was kind of just a golden rule for us. Wherever we rented, wherever we lived, we left the place better than when we found it. Whether that was an apartment that we continued to maintain and keep up in good shape, or a house where we did work on it ourselves, made the outside nice, improved gardens and property itself, so that when we left, it was a much better place than what it was when we came to it. I don't know how we did that with home ownership in our first home. I don't know how well that's going to turn out in the home we're at now. We've lived in it a while. It's a lived-in home. And there's no plans to go anywhere, so we don't have to worry about those things too, but just kind of keep one eye halfway open when you're walking through our house at times, and avoid those things. But the idea of leaving a place better than what you found it, that works well with the church too, and kind of Paul's greeting to them. Keep up these things. And when he finds them, they're not in the shape that they are in when he leaves them. And as we go about in the Christian church and in the world and the community around us as Christians, hopefully we leave relationships better because of our being in them. Hopefully we leave places better because of our being present at them. And the church is the same way. When the time comes that we leave a church, we leave having been a part of the church, having made a difference there, something that was positive. Your music for years and years and years is going to be missed when you are gone. You have helped make our music a better part of our worship because of your presence, both in choir and in praise team, Londa. And so you will be missed in that kind of a goodbye. The Gebauers, and the now we get to say goodbye to them on different occasions, I know, but they are long, long goodbyes. Still, it's really like this might be the last time that they may see some of the folks because other folks move away. And the period of time till they come back, and a lot of things change when they come back. So they always leave the place having blessed us in the process of being here. While they were here, they were a part of the mission and the ministry and active in the work of God, leaving things better than when they found them. The nice thing for all of us, though, no matter where we are, no matter where we go, is that we never say goodbye to God, because God goes with us wherever we are. God is with us wherever we are. And even in the gospel, as Paul is leaving them, or as in the gospel, not as Paul is leaving them, Paul left them with that goodbye. In our gospel message, we're reminded that even as Jesus was leaving, he's saying that there is something that's coming after me. Jesus is leaving things a lot better when he goes away, saying the Spirit is coming after me and you're going to receive power. Kind of got that out of order, don't we? We received the power last week with Pentecost, and now we're talking about receiving the power at some point. That's the way the readings fall. But we have that power now. You have that power of the Holy Spirit. We talked about that a lot last week in Pentecost. It's been given to you. Jesus left things better than when he found them, and he gives that charge to his disciples, and that's passed along also to us, that we would leave this world better than when we found it through our participation in the gospel, through our being a part of the body of believers, through our faith. And we tend to suffer from separation anxiety, whether someone else is leaving or whether we're the ones leaving. We have this fear of being alone and feeling abandoned, if you will. It's a basic human fear. It's kind of that fear that a lot of child psychologists say that children go through, not understanding that when a parent goes out the door, that they will come back. And a parent goes away to work. Why do the kids cry so much? Because they don't get it. They can't understand that yet. They will at some point because the pattern develops and they see that, but there are times when that pattern doesn't develop for those kids, and in that separation, other problems begin to surface because those fears are confirmed when parents don't return. There is a great preacher that was at the Methodist Church in Los Angeles, and his name was Wilsey Martinez, and everyone seemed to know about this pastor. Most folks really liked him. Some he didn't preach the style in that they cared for, and most of that was actually with some of the older folks in the congregation didn't like his style. He was kind of a younger mover and shaker in the congregation. And one of the Sundays when it was his turn to preach, he came up to the back doors of the church, got everything unlocked, and instead of going through the church, walked around to the front to unlock the front doors of the church. And as he was coming up the steps was coming one of the older ladies in the congregation, just making way very slowly up all these stone steps to the church. And so he helped her up the steps all the way. And she said, "Well, thank you, young man," not recognizing that he was one of the pastors and he was Wilcy Martinez. And she said, do you know who's preaching today, by the way? And he said, yes, ma'am, it's Wilcy Martinez is preaching today. And she said, oh, could you help me back down the steps? You know, we don't always get the appreciation that we're looking for in the things that we do. And we don't always receive the kudos that we think we should get for what we're doing or how we're doing it. Sometimes that goodbye by some is something that's desired. And a separation isn't there. Now, when it comes to the Lord, though, that's where there should always be a recognition and a separation anxiety. If we remove ourselves from the presence of Christ, remove ourselves from the places of worship, and start to try and go it on our own, I would hope that there is an anxiety that we feel that draws us back into the church. If we're feeling okay on our own apart from the church, then there's something seriously wrong in our relationship with Christ. Because we found a separation that we're able to live with. We've developed a separation from the fellowship, the body of believers, from worshiping Christ, from receiving His sacraments, that we're okay with. And that should never be okay. That's a time that we should feel anxious and needing to get back into the family and back to worship. Our triune God, as this is Trinity Sunday, our triune God has accomplished what we need for salvation in the gift of the Son from the Father, in the sending of the Spirit by the Son who gave His life for us and rose again, and now in the Spirit's work within us to continue to keep us familiar with this gospel and helping us to get this gospel out into the world, we have all we need. And we have this Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, continually working on our side, blessing us wherever we are, in every circumstance that we enter into, in every place that we go, wherever we go. David, you're going to be moving here in a month to Louisiana. We'll see less of you here, but we'll still see you, because you got to come back and see Mom and Dad. But there's a goodbye that takes place each time the Son moves away and goes away. And we don't know when the last time or next time is that we will see each other. We do know with God that we never go alone, and we never send those that we love alone. God goes with them in our goodbyes. And God is with us in those same goodbyes. Paul's blessing in our text is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you, is Trinitarian in nature on purpose. And it's one of those clear areas of Scripture that remind us that, yes, this God is triune, is three in one. We have this relationship with a triune God that is unique from that of those that worship other gods in this world, that would cheapen God by taking on some of His tasks, that would cheapen the grace of God by saying that their works are how they are going to be saved and no salvation in this life, by taking away from the grace that Jesus Himself would put upon us. We steal from the Lord and His gift to us. We as Christians in this world should understand that everything we have is by grace. Everything we are is by the grace of God. And the fact that we have the opportunity to worship today is by God's mercy in our lives. He has given us this gift of faith. He's given us this gift of hope. He's given us the promise of what is to come. And He never leaves us alone. And at the end of this life, as baptized children, confessing and confirmed children, as children who have grown in this faith throughout our life, we leave this life and these bodies, if you will, by His grace. He leaves us, brings us home better than He found us. We leave this world better than we found it. And hopefully this grace of God continues on through the generations that follow. We all have a firsthand understanding of the love of God. You've all received that grace in your life. And in many and various ways, hopefully you can recognize how God has been there throughout your life, seeing you to this point, the ways that he's answered your prayers, the way that he's been there for protection for you, the ways that he's brought you out of the pit at times, the ways that he's provided for you in simple daily tasks that as you accumulate those through life, you see that there's just no way these things all happen by chance. God has been on your side throughout your life. And his goal is to continue to bless you through this life and into the life that is to come. Jeremiah Rankin wrote a famous hymn that describes well the presence of God in our lives. God be with you till we meet again. And we've sung that from time to time. Quite honestly, it's not one of my favorite tunes. It kind of drags a little bit for me as far as it's, because it's usually used at the end, and I'm thinking, we just need a little bit more to that. But the words are beautiful as they remind us of this importance of understanding God in our lives, wherever we are and wherever we go. Rankin wrote these words while serving as pastor of First Congregational Church in Washington, D.C., and he felt that we often fail to realize that goodbye in that shortened form was, as he understood it to be also, God be with you. And so his hymn became a closing for their worship, a benediction for their worship of sorts, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And the tune was subdued at first, suggesting kind of that sadness and that parting of company. And then refrains with a bit of joy in it as hopefully we recognize that we're lifted up with that hope that God goes with us wherever we are. Because saying goodbye, whether that is a goodbye for now, or in some cases, as we recognize, might be a goodbye and we won't see each other again until the glories of heaven, it can be tough. And no question about it, like the child being left with the babysitter and the parent going away, or saying goodbye to the spouse until we see each other again following a business trip that we may be on or the like, or just as we separate and go different ways because careers take us in different paths and to different places that we live. Saying goodbye is a gift. It should be a gift. It should be as a prayer to another. You are in my heart, and may God be with you till we meet again. Goodbye may be a hard word, but it's never to be a bad word. It's to be a blessing. So whether in your hellos or in your goodbyes, seek to be and to give that blessing to those around you, as our brother Paul did. And though you don't have to tell people, you know, goodbye, aim for perfection. Every time they go out the door, you might see them even less, for sure. We can make those goodbyes meaningful and be understood as a blessing that our hearts truly are with you as we meet and greet and even as we go our separate ways. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts, your minds, and your lives always in Christ Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, and our God. Amen.